Now, the COVID-19 pandemic has significantly affected education around the world. Now, here in Malaysia, authorities have pushed back the reopening of schools till October at the earliest. And this after daily COVID-19 cases remain at record high in many states. Now, online learning has been tough for teachers, students and parents. And yet, some have mixed feelings about returning to school for face-to-face learning.
Year-old student Lucas Lai is playing the national anthem in a virtual classroom. Music teacher Dara Lim is preparing the students for a school project to mark Merdeka, Malaysia's Independence Day. Getting it all done online is no mean feat, she says.
When we are doing virtual lessons, right, students just hide behind the screen. The first thing is they refuse to turn on the camera. So even though they do turn on the camera, you can only see only their forehead or their eyebrow.
And this is what she means, the class of foreheads. While it's compulsory for students to switch on their cameras during lessons, there's no guarantee that they will interact face-to-face with their teachers online, let alone with other students in the virtual class.
Especially when you're in school, right? You can just ask your classmate, like, how to do this? So the student, basically, they will have interaction, they will help each other. However, when we're doing the virtual lessons, it's quite difficult for them. That they refuse to talk, they refuse to respond, they even refuse to attend the class.
Across town in the suburb in Kuala Lumpur, 13-year-old Muhammad Aziv is helping his mother, Madam Sarima, to sell fried chicken at the roadside store. It's his first year in secondary school. He's only met his teachers and friends for less than 3 months before the school was shut following a full lockdown due to COVID-19. Online learning has been tough for him. He told me that he hasn't submitted his homework for months because he couldn't keep up in his virtual class.
Susah. Pakai info aja. Tak boleh dengar. Ada bising sangat.
His mother said Aziv couldn't get a free tablet computer from school because both of his parents have jobs.
Kalau tablet kan satu je. Tak mampu beli banyak. Kadang-kadang tak online lah, dia tolong saya meniaga.
The mother of three said she's more concerned for her older son who's sitting for high school certificate examination this year. Anita Abdul Hadi, an entrepreneur, is equally worried. The mother of four said the protracted lockdown has disrupted her children's education.
And soon, like it or not, they have to get into universities or colleges. And I have no idea what's going on, how it's going to be done. It's a huge concern to me and my husband.
Her 17-year-old daughter said she hasn't had any examinations in the past year.
My teachers have been saying that once school open, we will have one. But for now, it's just quizzes and extra studying time.
While parents are worried about whether their children can catch up when schools reopen, educational specialist Dr. Suri Charles said passing examinations shouldn't be the main concern right now. The focus should be on their children's emotional and physical well-being.
You know what? These children, they already lost learning. They already lost learning, so don't worry about it. In terms of academic, they can always catch up. But once, if they have that physical and mental health issues, that's not something easy for us to actually work on.
Dr. Suri said excessive screen time and long-term exposure to blue light are bad for health.
Not only putting strain on your back, neck and shoulders, it can also cause double or blurry vision. Now, the digital eye strain, known as computer vision syndrome, can also lead to sleep deprivation and eye irritation.
Also, prolonged isolation without social interaction can have undesired consequences on children.
The study has shown that extensive exposure to virtual world on screen can cause what we call the tunnel vision. They would show no interest or very few interest in playing, interacting, socializing with friends and even families in real life physical setting.
On average, students like Ermi and Azif spend two-thirds of their waking hours on digital devices like smartphones and computers. It's good to take breaks in between for what's known as sensory diet. Achieving balance is key in a prolonged lockdown with online schooling.
Now, the World Health Organization has recommended at least an hour of exercise for children and half an hour for adults every day. But the burning question remains is, when is it safe for children to go back to school?
Teach for Malaysia, an NGO that advocates education access for all children, said it shouldn't be a one-size-fits-all answer for all schools in Malaysia. There are over 16,000 schools across 13 states in Malaysia. Each state should be allowed to decide, taking into account the school's location, density, infection and vaccination rates, and so on.
The more that we've been in this school closure environment, the more that those needs differ and the gaps between student ability widens.
While students, it said, should have access to remediation support from tutors and volunteers, there's an urgent need for a digital learning portal where students and teachers can download the syllabus and the curriculum at any given time, because schools may still be closed from time to time if there's a COVID-19 outbreak. While the Ministry of Education says no expense will be spared to get schools ready for students to return, including having all safety protocols in place, health experts say school should practice segregation as much as possible by creating safe bubbles.
Malaysia's Ministry of Education has one of the highest budget allocation compared to other ministries. Now, on average, about 15% of the country's annual budget, that's some $12 billion, go to the Ministry of Education each year.
And yet, many students are not equipped for online learning, and teachers too. Some said they have to pay out of their own pocket for online teaching.
I think a challenge is really the efficiency in which our budget is spent. And does that really make it kind of like to the last mile to support students' needs? During the pandemic, teachers have had to bear the cost to buy their own laptops, right? Teachers have to pay for their own internet connections.
Private educators in Malaysia, meanwhile, can't wait for the green light to reopen.
We find that our students are eager to come back to campus and, of course, continue their studies, learning, research, all here.
The school also tapped on star power to remind students of safe distancing.
Our study should be interesting and fun, especially more so during a pandemic. Don't you think so, Henry?
Meantime, some dedicated teachers are trying to keep the online interaction going among students as much as possible until they meet face-to-face again.
It's the start of another school year, and in the Philippines, the COVID-19 pandemic shows no signs of abating.
Enrollment in Metro Manila's public schools for school year 2021-2022 is available online, but in underprivileged communities like here, where we are, not everyone has the means to access the internet, and public Wi-Fi is also not readily available. So there is what is called Dropbox enrollment. Parents simply have to fill out forms like this one, attach their requirements, and then, to minimize face-to-face contact with school authorities, drop their children's enrollment credentials in Dropboxes like this one, available across Metro Manila's public schools.
Changes related to education brought about by the pandemic have had far-reaching consequences.
Because in-person learning is still limited to classes for medicine and other health-related college courses, many supplemental industries like tutorial and review centers have also shifted online. Across the country, physical classrooms of education centers like this remain empty.
And it's not just in classrooms where you see empty seats. It's also in graduation ceremonies that have since gone virtual for the most part. In the case of this Metro Manila city, robots were used thanks to the ingenuity of a student robotics team. Each robot shows the face of a graduate on a screen, remotely connected to avoid face-to-face contact while acknowledging their achievements on a stage in some way. But while the pandemic has sparked a new wave of innovation to allow the continuation of school activities, educators and mental health practitioners have started to count the losses in terms of children's learning, mental health, and other critical elements of childhood.
When you go to school, it's not all about studying. It's about the friendships that you nurture. It's about, you know, the passing of the notes, the hanging out during lunch.
Schools also often act as a safety net or an additional oversight when it comes to identifying signs of abuses at home.
There are things, there are nuances, like for example, expressions that you can only get once you are with them face to face.
Mother of four, Rosalie Kaasi, says the so-called blended learning employed by Philippine schools has taken a toll on parents like her, who now need to divide their time during the day between work and assisting children in their home-based schooling. This blended teaching method in the Philippines means some students may attend lessons online through television broadcast as well as through collected modules or printed materials. The pandemic also spurs learning setups that require more resources that many Filipino families could not afford.
Not all of them have the source or resource or fund to even get the technology that they need. My biggest worry is that not everybody can have an access to education.
And in catastrophic times like this, where layers of difficulty pile on, some suffer more than others. 10-year-old Jillian Mangampo is forced to self-study with no one to help her with her homework, as her mother's focus is on earning enough for the next meal and the need to stay employed on her $10 a day shopkeeper job.
Ano, yung nakakain kami araw-araw, yun lang. Mahirap din eh, mag-isa lang ako, pero tinitiis ko lang. Wala lang kasi ako kasawa, ma'am. 2014, patay na. Maliliit pa yung mga anak ko. Tapos, galing kaming probinsya, lumuwas akong Manila kasi hindi ko sila kaya buhayin. Kaya nagtrabaho ko dito para masuportahan ko sila.
In the middle of the pandemic, months after she enrolled in the previous school year, Jillian was forced to drop out due to lack of money. With constantly changing movement restrictions, her mother would be out of work for one period, then back at work the next. Even though Jillian has left school for 8 months, she continues to study on her own, browsing through her old reading materials. Jillian says she is fine with dropping out of school as she understands her family's situation. But her eyes tell a different story.
Kaya, okay lang.
Jillian clearly values education, so much so that she says she wants to be a teacher one day. And here is why.
Para yung mga katulad kong di nakapag-aral, atulungan ko po magbilang sa mga magbasa at magsulat para di sila maging katulad ko. Tinutulungan po kami mag-plus, tapos mag-bawas ng number. Tapos tinuturo niya rin sa akin kung paano gawin.
I told her to multiply her dreams minus the doubts, the best equation I could come up with for her.
Sana po ayusin na lang magbilang, magsulat at magbasa para paglaki nila maibigay sila sa magulang nila na ibigay sa kanila ng pang-aral.
The hope is that kids won't have to drop out of school due to economic hardship. This year, Jillian again enrolled for school, assisted by her grandfather, who is illiterate, while her mother is at work. In the past gap year, the pandemic has deprived kids like Jillian of a basic right. That's the right to education. And for communities like this, who suffer cyclical poverty, the right to education gives them and their families a shot at a better life.
Student life in Hong Kong changed dramatically when COVID-19 struck. Hong Kong schools were forced to shut its doors for more than half the academic year when the pandemic hit last January. For Miss Lee, a Vietnamese single mother of three children living on welfare, it was a particularly stressful time. Their home is a subdivided flat no bigger than 18 square meters, no bigger than the size of an average room. With limited Wi-Fi at home, they use mobile data to connect to their schools. And the three children have to make do with only one tablet issued by the government. Unable to cope, Miss Lee enrolled her son in after-school classes run by Christian Action, a local charity that helps low-income families and migrants. Since then, Michael's grades have improved, and he's even got a commendation letter for scoring 100 marks in maths last year. Mrs. Cheung, who runs Christian Action, says the learning gap between the haves and have-nots during the pandemic is clearly evident.
The school will give a computer, but one device for one family. So if we have two kids, three kids, only one kid can use the computer at one go. So normally, the younger ones will have to sacrifice. But it means that the academic development of these kids are delayed.
Another survey by nonprofit the Society for Community Organization found that out of 600 low-income students, 70% didn't have a computer and 28% didn't have broadband.
For this grassroots community, if they can help it, they will not have Wi-Fi at home, okay? So, but because the children need to Zoom and have classes on the internet, right? They need to get Wi-Fi. And they don't have friends who are Wi-Fi or IT savvy. They just have each other. So it's a big, big pressure on them.
For 40-something-year-old stay-home mom, Annie Chan, with twins aged 9, learning from home posed a different set of challenges. The past academic year was a steep learning curve for her and her children, coping with a new teaching method, anxious that her children wouldn't make the grade.
以前他們在學校上課已經跟老師，但一到在家裡 Zoom 看著兩個小朋友在學習的時候，你看到他們是很難 focus， 即是我看到他們 Zoom 可以整個早上8點半就要對著螢幕， 他們竟然懂得在 Zoom那裡 再 send messenger， 當你看到不專心的時候，他們不知道學不學到， 我覺得是很大問題，最主要也是視力加深了。
A recent Chinese university study surveyed more than 700 children aged between 6 and 8 and found that this year almost 30% developed myopia. That's almost triple the pre-pandemic rate. Another survey found that spending more time in front of screens have also meant that children have packed on the pounds during the pandemic.
我都躺著冷氣，瞓喺度床度，佢又有休息時間，又可以揾翻我啲玩具，
而且就唔使要出街咁凍啦。
而且又不用走樓梯。
Mrs. Chan has also taken the role of teacher at home, coaching them after classes and enrolling them for tuition courses like maths and English. Chinese language tutor Jiong Yan Yan is holding an online group class with Carson and Cassie.
面對面好似學校教學咧，個效果會好啲。咁佢覺得就係話，同埋咧，我哋香港咧就而家就算復課之後咧，都係其實唔係以前嘅全日制教學。
課程又短咗啦，咁但係考試嘅內容同埋考試嘅次數唔會因為咁而減少咗嘅喎，好似我哋香港家長最擔心咧就係小五小六咧有三個情分試。我諗佢哋覺得媽咪變咗太雞蒙咁樣嘅，我覺得，因為佢見多咗，因為你已經唔係話係照顧佢哋咁簡單，你仲要建立佢哋品德啊，或者叫佢專心啲啊，老師講緊呢個 topic 啊，咁你提得多，佢哋都覺得悶啦，係互相咯。有陣時好似日頭鬧得佢哋犀利，到夜晚臨瞓啦，即係我哋有陣時會去祈禱瞓覺啊。咁有啲咩今日如果我鬧得佢犀利，我都要同我對仔女 say sorry
啊。佢就話老師嘅身份，即係話老師都會嚴格，咁係要。
Educational therapist Rick Smith, who's been counseling kids for more than 20 years, says students may have grown accustomed to the changes over the past year. But warns, for some kids he's treated, it may be a passive response from feeling helpless.
They all have this feeling that it should be easier and that the way that people are interacting with them communicates like, you should know what you're doing and you should have done it already. And a lot of kids, this is the first time they've done this. Well, you have a computer, you know how it works, good luck. Right? So they just get on the computer and then, again, they're competing with like quantum computers at Google buying their attention and a teacher trying to teach algebra. It's really an unfair competition for the kids.
Many parents still need to go to work, and for some, they work from home. And assuming the role of teacher at home, Rick has found some parents struggle to offer the right kind of assistance to their child.
Parents are confronted with this choice. Do I teach math, or do I talk to my kid about how frustrating it must be to not understand what to do in math class? I really, really want parents to work on that connection. What happened today that was unusual? Who's one of your best friends right now? Was something that you're really hoping might happen next week. These are so much more important than did you get your math homework done.
The new academic year has begun in September. As the pandemic threat eases, children have returned to school and kindergarten, but only for half-day classes. For parents and educators, the hope is that schools will continue to remain open and provide a happier and healthier learning environment for the children.